I'll be very brief. I'm reminded, taking this podium, of the words of my father, who always taught me, son, nobody ever made a bad two-minute speech. So I will be very quick. The guts of what I want to say, I want to quote the words of my son Jake, who joins me here today. And I've got two other kids, but they love that song, and I love that song. I am, you are, we are Australian. It's a fantastic song, and the broad brushstrokes of it are egalitarianism, that we're all equal under the southern skies. It's one of the sort of foundation stones, I think, on which this country was built. And I note the historical significance of where we are met. I hesitate to do so on two reasons. Once, when we were launching the book that I wrote on Kim Beazley, we had Gough Whitlam do the honours, and I said, Mr. Whitlam, can you keep it to 5 minutes? And it was at the Opera House, and after 15 minutes, Gough had not moved off the historical significance of Bennelong Point. But he did go on to make a great speech, and also, in terms of the historical significance of where we met, Lucy Turnbull's here, who wrote the book Sydney, and I'm sure if I make a mistake, you'll tell me later. But this was where the essence of the Rum Corps Rebellion was. January 26th, 1808, and they marched, the soldiers, 400 soldiers, followed by 200 colonists from George Street, marched up Bridge Street, came into the old Parliament House, where they found William Bligh, and I like to think that was sort of the foundation stone of big inequality. At the end of the day, there was more equality. Egalitarianism started out. It was a very, very Australian kind of coup. No bodies, no bullets, huge party in the rocks that night, and they talked about it for years afterwards. But for me, the significance of this report is that it clearly demonstrates that though we're in the land of egalitarianism, so-called, in this country there remain many, many shocking exceptions. And we've seen many of those exceptions in the focus in the media today, with the terrible detail coming out of the Northern Territory. But also, one of those areas of inequality, obviously in the realm of gay rights. The first time I got particularly politicised was getting involved in the apartheid debate in South Africa in the 80s about whether the Wallabies should or should not go. I was very strong, I very, very strongly believe that we should not go. It was clear to me that any political system that allocated political rights according to skin pigmentation was outrageous. And for me, when I look at the stuff in this report, though I have not suffered under any of that legislation, there's a distant echo of a sexual legal apartheid here, whereby if you are heterosexual, you've got full legal rights, you've got the weight of the legislature and the judiciary right behind you. It's obvious from what Susan was saying there, that if you're gay, you don't have that full measure of rights. The final thing I want to say is, as somebody, I suppose, who every morning at 3:30 a.m. is reading the paper, looking at the issues of the day before we go on air, I find a lot of the issues really complex to get my head around what's right, what's wrong. I find the solutions complex. What's exactly the right thing to do? The thing about this issue for me is it's not complex. It's bleeding, bloody obvious. It is wrong that there is that level of inequality between the two systems. And the solution, it's not difficult and it's not expensive. We don't have to build a desalination plant. We don't have to invade another country. We don't have to do any of that stuff. We've got to introduce a bit of legislation. And the other good bit of news is 72% of Australians are absolutely behind it. How hard can it be? Thank you.